This is City on the Hills podcast. We hope this message becomes a revelation in your heart and will encourage you to live a Christ-centered life. Thanks for checking out our podcast. Here's today's message.
Well, friends, let's pray together. God, I thank you that you are faithful. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are speaking to us. Thank you for the series called The Sign. And Lord, how you are revealing yourself, how we are getting greater revelations about who you are and why you came. Jesus, I pray that you'll come and minister to us by your Spirit. Open these words to us, and may we understand, and may we encounter you in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends and family, I'm so delighted to be able to share our fifth installment of this amazing series called The Sign. Remember, we looked at T-H-E. Last week, we looked at S, which we looked at last week. We looked at how we need to give, how Jesus gave supper to 5,000. And today, we're going to look at I, interim on the sea. It's just, I had to find this I. If someone helped me with this, interim on the sea. So kind of like what Jesus had with this kind of moment that Jesus had walking on water. And I want to ask you today, just on the outset, what is your default when you face a storm? What is your default when things don't go the way you planned? How do you handle it when you were on a path, you had a plan, you were going somewhere, you were heading for a destination, and then a storm hit? It happens so often to us in life, and that was a reason, I believe, why Jesus wanted to reveal himself in the midst of a storm. He wanted to reveal himself through one of these signs in the Gospel of John so that you and I could understand how do we handle storms and how do we embrace Jesus in the middle of a storm. I remember one of the times Jesus says to his disciples, let's go to the other side. And he was actually in the boat with him. This was at another occasion. And they faced another storm. And I realized that life often gives us a little bit of a curveball. Sometimes we kind of have everything planned. We were going to get married, and then there was a storm. We were going to have kids, and then there was the storm. We were going to enter this career, and then there was a storm. We were going to study at this institution, but then we faced a storm. We were planning our lives together, and then there was a storm. It might have been a storm in the form of really just an issue of health, of sickness. It might be a financial storm. It might be a storm when it comes to your family and a breakdown in the family. For you, it might be more recently, it might be a storm of a pandemic. You had everything lined up. You had staff, you had people employed, you had contracts lined up, and then a storm came. Then a pandemic came and literally changed everything, changed the scope, changed. And literally, in a sense, you had no more hope and no more vision because all you could think about was the storm. What do you do in the midst of the storm? What's your default in the midst of a storm? You know, a storm is a powerful thing. A storm reveals a lot. A storm will reveal, firstly, what you and I believe. That's what a storm does. When a storm comes into our lives, it reveals what we believe. It also reveals how we handle things. Do we take matters into our own hands or do we trust God? A storm reveals our default settings. You know, default, that means that you've got something inside of you, a belief system, something inside of you that says that when I face this, this is how I'll react. When this comes, that's what I'll do. It's almost like muscle memory for great professional athletes. They've got muscle memory. When you look at tennis players, they've got muscle memory. When they see the ball in this way, they come in a certain angle. They've got a memory. They've got a default setting when it comes to that. Sometimes when people face storms, they do what the people did when Jonah was on board. Remember in Jonah, we see how Jonah found himself on this ship with these other people, and they faced a great storm. And what they did was they threw a lot of stuff overboard, a lot of supplies and a lot of important things that were in their lives. They threw that overboard because they try to preserve their lives. And I've seen that with people, is when they face a storm, they throw a lot of stuff overboard, sometimes necessary stuff, sometimes necessary things in their diary, they throw that overboard. Sometimes a commitment to a local church, they throw that overboard. Sometimes a relationship with their wife or their husband, or sometimes key friendships, discipleship relationships, sometimes times in God's word, they throw that overboard. Sometimes their faith in Jesus Christ gets shipwrecked. They throw it overboard, thinking they can preserve their lives, and so they throw important things off. I'm not saying that we should keep everything on board, but sometimes we throw off the very things that actually we need. And today I want to ask you, just as we look at the fifth sign that Jesus performed, that literally reveals his glory, that reveals why he came, and also reveals who he is, I would like you and me to be able to engage with Jesus in a special way. I believe the first thing that we're going to see today in this passage is we're going to see that Jesus is superior, that Jesus has all authority, that Jesus is above all things, he's above every storm, that God wants you and me to learn how to, in the midst of the storm, rise up with him above the storm, that Jesus Christ is not limited by the storms that you and I face, that storms don't take him by surprise, and Jesus is not fearful in the midst of storms. Jesus is Lord. That's what we're going to see. That's who he is. That's what we're going to learn today. The second thing we're going to learn today is why he came. And one of the reasons why Jesus came, one of the major reasons why Jesus came, is to come and take back the authority that the enemy had stolen. We know that when Jesus was tempted, the enemy offered him all of these kingdoms of the world. The enemy had authority over kingdoms because Adam and Eve lost their authority. And Jesus Christ came as man to defeat the enemy as a man, because a man gave away the authority. And so Jesus, as a man, the Word became flesh. Jesus Christ became man so that he can come and take back the authority. That's why he says in Matthew 28, verse 18, he says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." We must understand these signs are expressions of Jesus's destiny, expressions of Jesus's purpose here on the planet. And one of the major purposes of Jesus was to come and win back the authority that Adam and Eve lost. C.S. Lewis says the following. He says, "Authority exercised with humility and obedience, accepted with delight, are the very lines along which our spirits live." See, authority exercised with humility and obedience, accepted with delight, are the very lines along which our spirits live. So let's get into John chapter 6, verse 16 and onwards. It says in verse 16, it says, "When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now, it was dark." Can you say dark? Because I've found often storms come and then it's dark times. We don't see the sun when the storm comes. And they were already in a dark place, but they had not yet been in a storm. But I often think sometimes things get dark and then they become stormy. Jesus had not yet joined them. So here they are on their own without Jesus in the dark. And verse 18 says, "A strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough." So there was wind and there was waters. It was a strong wind obviously coming against them and the waters grew rough. "And when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened." Another translation says, "They were afraid." Now, you must understand this, friends, is that no matter what storm you and I face, Jesus wants to step right into the midst of the storm that you are facing right now. No matter what challenge it is, no matter how impossible it looks, no matter how fearful and frightened you might be, Jesus wants you and me to know that he's always with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us, and he's not too far from us. He wants to intervene. He wants to step into your very storm. And you and I have to believe it. Because if we don't believe it, we're going to be fearful. If we don't believe it, we're going to think that Jesus Christ is something else. You know that sometimes the disciples would actually think he's a ghost. They did not recognize Jesus at first. And sometimes what happens to us is we face a storm, and then when Jesus steps into our storm, Jesus wants to reveal himself. We reject him because we don't recognize Jesus. Friends, that's why prior to the storm and before you face storms, you and I need to spend time getting to know Jesus, getting to know his word, getting to know how he operates, getting to know his voice. He says in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They know my voice. They will not follow another one's voice." Why? You and I, in the calm seas, in the times when things are easy, when things are easier, when things are more predictable, when the sun shines, that's the time for us to get to know our God. That's the time for us to get to know our Jesus, so that when the storm rages and Jesus steps into the storm, we don't get frightened, but we actually embrace him. We don't run away from him, but we actually run toward him. They were frightened, friends. See, religion says to you that you and I must first get out of the storm and then call out to Jesus. Some people, I say to them, why don't you come to church? They say, no, you don't understand. I must first get my life right, then I can come to Jesus. Friends, it's like saying, I must first get clean before I can have a bath. It's like saying, I must first drive the car to Joburg and then I can put petrol in the car. You're not going to be able to get free without coming to Jesus. Jesus reveals himself in the storm. Many people think, no, I must just, can I just sort the storm out? I spoke to such a dear friend recently and he said to me, Mark, I just need to sort myself out and then I can come back. I thought to myself, my brother, you can't just sort yourself out. You need Jesus to sort yourself out. To be sorted out, you need Jesus. You need to recognize him and you need to embrace him. See, now Jesus comes and he reveals that, and the reason why they struggled to recognize him, because they did not understand that he's superior. They struggled to believe that even the winds and the waves would obey him. They struggled to believe that he could walk on water, that he would not be limited by the laws of this earth, but that he's supreme, that he's higher than any single kind of limitation that's placed on man here on this planet. See, friends, Jesus loves walking on water. He loves coming to us in the middle of our greatest distress. He loves coming to us when we are sweating and we are rowing for 3 to 4 miles and we're putting it all in and we're like, Jesus, we don't have it. And he loves stepping in when you and I get to the end of ourselves. Elizabeth Elliot said the following. She says, until the will and the affections are brought under the authority of Christ, we have not begun to understand, let alone to accept his lordship. These friends, you see what it is? We need to accept and celebrate and embrace the lordship of Christ so that you and I can actually bring our affections and our will and our affections under the authority of Christ. See, when we bring our will and our emotions under the authority of Christ, we embrace the lordship of Christ. That's how you embrace the lordship of Christ. Let's look at verse 20 of John 6. It says, but he said to them, it is I. Don't be afraid. Now, I'm sure now when he said, it is I, don't be afraid. It's amazing how they encounter him. And faith rises because the Bible says, when we look unto Jesus, he's the author and the perfecter of our faith. When we see him, we get his faith and faith rises. And now they don't have to be afraid. See, when you hear his voice, faith comes by hearing and hearing by his word. When you hear his voice, you don't have to be afraid. And I've faced challenges, friends, just recently. When COVID came, it felt to us like we were at the end of ourselves and I didn't know what was going to happen and I was feeling very insecure and very challenged. And I remember saying to Marie, I said, I don't know how we're going to get out of this. We had a number of tenants. 5 of our tenants were not paying because they lost jobs and they lost incomes. 5 people that were renting from us could not pay. And I was like, I'm carrying the bond on the one place. I'm carrying the mortgage on the other place. I'm like, Lord, help me. And God said to me, he said, Mark, when you hear my voice, I said to Marie, we need to get a word from God. Even now with our next step and our next season as a family, trusting God to pioneer beyond our nation, it's so challenging because I don't have things in the natural. God says to me, he said, do you have a word from me? If you've got a word from God, if you can hear Jesus, your fear leaves because perfect love casts out all fear. When I engage with Jesus, the one who is the expression of perfect love, he casts out all fear. Verse 21 says, then they were willing. Can you say they were willing? They were willing to take him into the boat. And immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Now, I just want to just show you this. It's amazing how their willingness unlocked the supernatural. Watch this. I'm going to just pause there. Many people haven't seen this, but Jesus Christ, he steps into the boat. They willingly receive him. And the Bible says in Isaiah 1, it says that if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the fat of the land. You'll embrace the good that God's got for you when you're willing and obedient. And I've found that many people are obedient, but they're not willing. Many people say, it's Jesus, but I'm not willing to embrace you. Yes, it's Jesus on the water, but I'm not willing to have you in my boat. Yes, Jesus stopped the storm, but I'm not willing for you to be Lord. If you're far from God, Jesus Christ wants to save you from your sin, but he's also wanting to set you free from trying to run your own life so that he can be the Lord of your life, so that you can lay down your life and embrace the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Will you allow Jesus to be Lord of all in your life? Will you submit to the Lordship of Christ? Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do what I say. Jesus is revealing through the sign that he is Lord of all. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And when you and I are willing to embrace this King, when you and I are willing to embrace the Lord of lords, when you are willing to invite him into that stormy situation, that stormy boat, if you're willing to invite Jesus into that stormy relational issue, when you invite Jesus into that stormy depression that you are plagued with, if you're willing to invite Jesus into your financial management, be willing to invite him in. That's why what we do, even when you can't forgive and when you've got bitterness, are you willing to invite Jesus in and allow him to empower you to forgive? Are you willing to invite Jesus in? Some people, as I'm talking to you right now, I see some people are struggling to forgive themselves because you are still beating yourself up for the mistakes of the past. And Jesus wants to say to you, are you willing to invite me into that area, that unforgiveness in your heart? Some people are saying, God, I will not honor you with my finances. I am the Lord of my finances. I will not put you first by giving the first 10% to my local church. I'm not going to put you first. I'm here to say to you, then Jesus is not Lord. Then you are Lord of your finances. But if Jesus is Lord, then I'll put him first when it comes to my finances. I believe that supernatural things happen when we're willing to welcome Jesus. Supernatural things. You know what happened? Let me show it to you. Watch what happened. The Bible says they were willing to take him into the boat and immediately. Can you say immediately? So they've been rowing. They've been sweating. They've been trying their best to get to shore. As Jesus steps in, whoop, they find themselves at the shore. It was like a supernatural moment. They went from being in the storm to on the shore. They went from being literally in despair. They could not get out of the storm. Rowing for 3 to 4 miles, all of a sudden, they're on the shore. Isn't that amazing? How when you're willing to bring Jesus in, supernatural things happen. The impossible takes place. Then the one that is above all limitations, that defies the odds, is the one that steps into your life, and then your life starts defying the odds. Then your little boat, your little life starts experiencing the supernatural intervention of God. Think about it. Are you willing to expect the supernatural this year? Are you really willing to expect the impossible? Impossible. Jesus steps in. Boom, I'm on the shore. Impossible. Jesus steps in. Boom, I sell my house. That's what happened to me last year. When five tenants couldn't pay, we were at the end of ourselves. I brought Jesus in. I invited him in. Boom, I sold my house miraculously in the middle of COVID. And we had more than enough money to fix up our own house. And God has just blessed us. He was so kind to us abundantly. A miracle happened. Why? Jesus stepped in to my storm. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I don't know what fire you're facing. I don't know what storm you're facing. But you know what I love about Jesus? Jesus doesn't just take them out of the fire. He doesn't just take these disciples out of the storm. Jesus steps in with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. Isn't that awesome? Don't we have an awesome God? In your darkest night, Jesus wants to step in. Expect great things. With your deepest fear, what's your deepest fear? The people will reject you. Will you let Jesus step in there because he accepts you? What's your deepest fear? What's your deepest fear, friends? I want to say this. Let Jesus step in there and release faith and love into that very place. What is your greatest storm that you're facing right now? Now, some people might watch and say, but Mark, I don't have any storms. I've got money. I've got health. I've got a wonderful wife, a wonderful husband, a wonderful family. I'm here to say to you, friends, I don't care who you are. I've worked with people now for 21 years. And for 21 years, I've seen this trend. There's always an area of our lives where we need to welcome Jesus in. And always an area of our lives where Jesus is not yet Lord. Always an area of our lives where Jesus needs to step in. And this is how we apply the cross of Jesus Christ. This is how Jesus prophesies about himself. Because what he says, we need you and I, when he was lifted up on the cross, literally, friends, he took up all the lies of the enemy upon himself. He took on himself the abdication of authority. He took on himself how the enemy stole authority from Adam. And he came by dying on the cross and rising from the dead. He came and he took back authority. That's why it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, we look unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter, or the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. Now watch this. And sat down at the right hand of the throne of heaven. What happened to Jesus? Jesus is prophesying and saying, you know what? I'm going to go through the cross. And what you need to do is, when you need authority and you need my lordship and you need me to step into your boat in the midst of your storm, you need to see me. That for joy, because I love you so much, I endured the cross. But I did not just endure the cross. I'm now seated at the right hand of God. I've got all my enemies has been made a footstool for my throne. I am now above all. And that Jesus is not coming back as a suffering servant. He's coming back with fire in his eyes, friends. He's coming back with a sword in his hand, a sword in his mouth, actually. He's coming back on his thighs tattooed, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, with a robe. He's coming back, friends, glorious. His hair shining. His eyes like fire. He's coming back as a glorious king to come and take us back. All authority is now in his hands. Friends, when you and I look unto him, for the joy set before him, you know, when you are struggling in a storm, you need to see Jesus. You need to recognize Jesus. And you need to rejoice in Jesus. Because as you and I see him, his joy becomes our joy. His strength becomes our strength. His authority then becomes our authority. John Stott said, his authority on earth allows us to dare to go to all nations. We can do the impossible. His authority in heaven gives us our only hope of success. So his authority on earth allows us to dare to go to the nations. His authority in heaven gives us our only hope of success. And his presence with us, in the boat with us, leaves us no other choice. Authority to go, authority for hope. His presence with us. You and I have no other choice. We are secure in Jesus. See, you might say, but Mark, I'm thankful. Jesus is glorious. He's above all authority. But I'm struggling right now. I'm on my way somewhere, and I've just faced a massive storm. Something happened in my business, and I just lost R1 million. Something happened, and I just lost my wife. This just filed for divorce. Mark, you don't understand. My kids are struggling. One of my children are facing addiction. Mark, you don't understand what I'm going through. I'm here to say to you, friends, what you and I need to do is we need to, instead of rowing harder, we need to look harder for Jesus. You and I need to look in the midst of the storm, because storms are going to come. In the midst of the storm, we need to look for Jesus. We need to recognize Jesus. And then we need to embrace him and invite him in. Literally a year ago, 1 year ago, 3 days ago, the 6th of January, 2021, I'm running with God. And as I'm running with Jesus, Jesus says to me, you can have the best year of your life this year. And I'm like, Jesus, how am I going to have the best year of my life? He said to me, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found themselves in the fire. But what was the best day of their life? And I said, definitely the day in the fire. And he said, why? And God is having a conversation with me. And I say, God, not their kids being born, even though those were great days. Not promotion, not the day they got married. No, the day in the fire. And the day in the fire was not because they were not burnt. Because that must have been a fearful day, because they faced death, and the people that threw them into the furnace died. But the reason why that day was so awesome is they had a glimpse, an encounter, a revelation of me, Jesus said to me. He says they had a revelation of Jesus like that they've never had before. They saw Jesus like they've never seen him before. And God said this to me. He said, Mark, no matter what you face this year, you're going to see me like you've never seen me before. No matter what you go through, no matter what storm you face, no matter what fiery furnace you go through, you don't go to it, my boy. You're going to go through it. But when you're in it, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. When you're in it, you'll see me like you've never seen me before. And this blessed me. That same day when Jesus told me about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was the same day that our house burned down. One of our houses burned down. And this house burned down, roof collapsing on the inside. It was an absolute mess. And I said, Lord, I can't see how this is going to be good. And my son, Joshua, came to me and said, Daddy, God's with us. It's going to be all right. And I was shaking, because I was just seeing what's going to go bad. And friends, Jesus gave me peace in the midst of the storm. I welcomed Jesus in, and then the supernatural happened, friends. I saw my boat go. I could not row it that fast. I saw my boat go to the shore, and God provided for us miraculously. And that house today is much better than what it was that just before the fire. It's an amazing place. And God said to me, I'm not only going to bless you in the flames, I'm going to bless you after the flames. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they saw Jesus in the flames. That was their greatest reward. But then they had a little extra blessing. They got promoted afterwards. And my question to you today is, will you see Jesus in your storm? He is supreme. He's the highest authority. And He's got authority over your storm. Will you see Him walking on water? Will you keep your eyes on Jesus? And may His joy be your strength in this very time. If you're far from God, will you put your faith in a Jesus that's not subject to authorities, but actually that is in supreme authority, that died on the cross for the joy set before Him and is now seated at the right hand of God? Let's pray. Jesus, I want to pray anyone that's far from you, that we would really embrace people that are far from you. And if you're far from God, I pray that today you will put your faith in Jesus. And Jesus, those far from you would have a revelation of you. But for us close to you, God, there must be areas in our lives where your lordship needs to become a greater reality, where we need to welcome you in to see, firstly, an encounter of you, but secondly, a supernatural intervention. And I pray today that we'll put our faith out to see you and to experience your supernatural grace. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Bless you, friends. Let's worship Him together, and we'll see you next week. Enjoy Him.
Thanks for joining us for today's message. Don't forget to check out our website or visit City on a Hill International on Instagram or Facebook for our updates, celebration times, or ways you can get involved. We are also streaming our message on Facebook Live, so make sure you join us or share the post. Thanks again for checking out our podcast. We'll see you soon.